If you heard something a little off, it's because I was up here singing too. And no, that was not my application to join the choir, but I just love that song. I just love that song, and I love just God's grace. I just love it. Our scripture reading this morning is coming from Mark chapter 1, verses 35 through 39. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I've come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Yes. So sometimes, well, let me back up. So we're continuing our sermon series on balancing life's demands. And this morning we're going to talk about being present. And sometimes God is just good and gives you wonderful illustrations. For me, it was this morning when I got here and found out that, unfortunately, the people in my Sunday school class were sick. So I had some free time, and so I thought, oh, this is great. I'm going to use it to go over my sermon one more time. And then Chris invited me to come to Sunday school. And I had this moment where I was torn, because I thought I could spend this time getting ready for my next moment, or I could see what God wants out of this moment. And I chose to go to Sunday school class. Now, if this sermon is really bad, next time you might say, "Paul, think about that next time Chris asks you to come to Sunday school." But it's funny how often we think that. I don't know if anyone else does that, where instead of being in the moment you're in, you find yourself getting ready for the next moment. In fact, I was so caught up in that I forgot my microphone. You may have seen me disappear in the middle of service. Well, that's because I realized halfway through that I forgot my mic, which is kind of important. Being present is so important. It's so important. And when we find ourselves constantly out of the present moment, I wonder what that does to us as people, especially when it comes to balancing life's demands, as we've talked about. You know, last week, Kenny talked about a lot of things, and the one thing that I've heard several people take away from his message, and one thing that I took away, is that it's okay to say no to the rat race of life, to the things, to all the demands that come at us, to filter those out and to be able to say no. And that is so true when it comes to being present. In fact, it is a miracle that I'm even here this morning. Because either last year or maybe it was this year, I don't know how time works sometimes, I really challenged the youth to unplug for a week. To let go of their phones, to let go of social media, to let go of a lot of things. And I wasn't sure I was going to make it out of that youth room. But here's the thing. It's not just them. We're that way too. And in fact, they learn from us. I can't tell you how many times I've gone out to dinner with youth and parents, and the one that's been on their phone more than the youth has been the parent. So it's not just a teenager thing, but there's something about technology that can sometimes keep us from that present moment with those people, with ourselves even. Now, technology is awesome in the same time. There's so many incredible ways where we see self-expression and we see people being able to connect with one another. But at the same time, it can offer us some challenges. And when I was talking to the youth about that very same thing, I noticed, especially in today's time, we were talking about some interesting studies that had come out that talked about today's youth are safer than they've ever been, that they're actually having less sex than they ever have. And a few other things, and part of this is because they also at the same time are more isolated than they've ever been, that eighth graders in today's time let me back up, eighth graders several years ago were more likely to go out on the weekends than high school seniors now. Now that's a broad generalization, and that's certainly not true for everybody. But I just find it interesting how what plays out in their lives is certainly true of us as well. How many of us carry around a whole lot of mental clutter? Our to-do lists, our expectations of wondering if we've done enough, like I did in this present moment, or in that to get ready for that next moment. How many of us carry around a sense of anxiety about what the future is going to hold? And when we carry that around with us, it forces us to be thinking about what could be coming and not about what's happening right now. Or how many of us struggle with guilt over something that we did, which brings us back to the past and not in the present moment? In a world that we live in that is so fast-paced, with the power of technology in our pockets, it feels like such a challenge to be present with people and with God and with ourselves. And I don't think this is just a technology thing, because what we see in this passage this morning is this is going on with Jesus as well. Before we get to the particular text that I read this morning, we read over in verse 28 that after Jesus got done healing a man, at once, it says, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. His reputation's getting out there and his fame is spreading. And then over in verses 32 and 33, it says, that evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole town was gathered around the door. Have you ever felt like the whole town was gathered around your door? Maybe it's your work email that won't stop going off. Maybe it was family members that come to you in need. Maybe it was whatever it was. Sometimes I feel like I have everything crouching right at my door. The next thing I'm supposed to do, the next task that I have, the next place I'm supposed to be, the next person I'm supposed to see. And sometimes it feels like all I want to do is shut that door, lock it, and never let it in. And this morning as I read this text, and this week as I read it, I wondered what Jesus might have been feeling, listening to the people outside of the door trying to get to him. Because as Kenny talked about last week, he could have done a lot of good there. He could have said yes and done a lot of good things. And yet what we see here is that he does the opposite. I imagine Jesus was feeling the pressure, both with the people seeking him and with the disciples in his home, encouraging him to go and heal since he could have. And many of us have those same gifts that are in high demand. But we also might be thinking inside, I just can't do this one more day. I just cannot do this one more time. And in those moments, what is our response? What this morning is right outside your door trying to draw you away from the present moment? What voices are clamoring for you to do more and question whether that you have done enough or whether you are enough as a parent, as an employee, as a boss, as a student? The greater question for us as well is, how does Jesus deal with the other side of the door? In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed, and Simon and his companions hunted for him. He was so needed. There were so many sick there. He had disciples wanting to see them, and yet he retreats. And notice he doesn't retreat to a place with more people or distractions or things to pull his attention. He gets up before the sun, before the day's demands, and he flees to a deserted place. What's a deserted place look like for you? What does a deserted place look like for you? I love the first time I take youth to Nakomi, because when you go down that hill to Nakomi, something funny starts happening. You start losing service, and oh, it's great. It is great. And just to see their faces when you lose that service is priceless. Because we live in a time when we can be constantly connected. But the point we should take away from this is that Jesus just didn't happen to wake up before the sun. And he didn't just happen to find a deserted place. He went out. He chose. He decided to go to a deserted place, away to pray. Deserted places don't come to us. We have to go to them. We have to find that place for us. And it's going to be difficult because, as it says, Simon and his companions were hunting for him. They were looking for him. And yet we have to decide what is going to be most important to us. For many of us, the thought of stepping away is frightening Because when you stop going, when you do stop being connected to technology, when you do stop thinking about those things, that's when, for a lot of us, those uncertainties and those anxieties and those questions come creeping in. I love the moment of silence prayer that we have, but I know for a lot of people in this congregation, that is a very difficult and uncomfortable time. It is a very difficult and uncomfortable time because that's exactly when your mind starts going. Many of us live believing that it's better to drown out the things that arise from our hearts than to be forced to confront them. We believe it's better to put a device between us and whoever is across from us because it's safer and easier to manage what's going on the screen than to deal with the person across from us. But Jesus, in the midst of the pressures of life, got up and chose to go to a deserted place to be alone, to be caught up in some undivided time in the present, to be alone with the Lord, with God. And when they found him, he came away with greater clarity as to what he was to do and who he was to be with, and perhaps even greater clarity to himself. Why? What was that time? What was it about that time that allowed him this clarity? I believe that when he went there, it allowed Jesus to be present to himself and to God, unlike he was able to do surrounded by everything else. It gave him the space he needed to listen to God. And you know, we don't do a good job of this. We live in a world of multitasking. And one of those multitasks that we like to do as Christians is to expect God to fit into our lives instead of purposefully designing our lives to fit into God's life. We like to say to God, we'll let you fit in and tell us things and respond and command us when we want to. But instead, we don't like to be the ones to say, no, Lord, I'm going to let my life be built into the way you want it done. Our world is designed to keep us rapidly consuming things, rapidly consuming more media and more ideas, more social experiences and more stuff, consuming more and more content so much that we can feel alone and isolated when we aren't consuming things. There's a reason why we like that hit when we have likes on our Facebook or on Instagram or wherever. There's a reason why it can feel kind of scary when we step away from things, because all of a sudden we're by ourselves. You know, I've committed this year to getting up earlier than I ever have, just to be obedient to Christ and to spend this time alone in my deserted place in the mornings, and I've loved it. Katie, in fact, has read a bunch of books last year and this year about decluttering and about being present, because sometimes we're not just surrounded by the mental clutter, but that mental clutter carries over into our physical spaces, right? If we feel like our homes or our office or whatever are cluttered, as one book said, we shouldn't be surprised when our minds feel that way as well and we find it hard to be present with those around us. I think we've gotten rid of 90 boxes or bags of things. A lot. We've been committed to this process for this very reason. We want to be present with one another. We want to be present with the Lord. Jesus left those things to place himself in a position to be present and to pray. And for many of us, prayer is difficult because prayer feels sometimes like we aren't doing anything. I don't know if anyone else has ever thought that. In a world where we're measured and judged about what we can get done in those days, stopping to pray may feel like the last thing in the world we can do. But actively praying and listening is just like any other skill that we have. It needs to be practiced and needed. Just the other day, I was with a friend who took some time to talk with one of his friends, and during that conversation, he realized that he had been carrying around a lot of anger that he did not know that he was even feeling. It wasn't until he talked to this friend and was present with them and got it off his chest that he realized, I have been really angry and really holding on to a lot of this for some time now. And he didn't even realize it. The scriptures say, the psalmist writes, search me, O God, and know me. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Our hearts are where our motivations and our desires and our emotions and the wounds that we have, that's the place that we carry those things. And sometimes those things can lie underneath the surface and can come up in us, and we don't have any idea why. We've been carrying around an anger, and it didn't even know it. But this time with God, this time in prayer, allows us to feel the bumps and the bruises that we take each week. Many of us can get through with our week and just feel exhausted and tired, and it's not from one thing, but it's from the entirety of the week weighing on us. And that time with God allows us to feel those bruises and those hurts, to feel those things underneath the surface in our hearts, and allow God to do something about them. Jesus had to face this reality. When his fame spread, the demands for his time and his attention went up, he had to stop and get away from it all to remember who he was and to remember why he was there, why he was doing what he was doing. I imagine he spent the night listening to his inner joy and pain, his inner uncertainty and sense of purpose that he had from God, just as I feel like we need to do more. It's about stopping long enough that we can feel and articulate the movement of the Spirit on our hearts, all those things that are resounding within us, those things that we so often choose to just bury beneath the surface rather than bring them forth and let God do something with them, heal them. And the best way we do this is through that time with God in prayer. It's through that time when we're with people and give them our undivided attention. It's like on Wednesday mornings when Greg and Kenny and I get together and we unload on each other things that have been going on with us during the week. We spend that time just focused on God and on our lives. It's like that time when I have with Katie, which sometimes feels so rare to us, that I'm hoping we can get more of, and that we have to say no to get more of, when we can just simply get back to being present with one another. I can't tell you how many couples I've heard get to the place where they say, I don't know how we got here. And part of the reason couples say that is because they've been going so much and they haven't been present with one another and really listening to one another. I believe that Jesus is inviting us right now in 2018 to be present more to God and to ourselves and others, and to let go of more things and to rest in the faith and assurance that God will respond to us. The thing about being present is that we have a God who is present. We have a God who is not off doing his own thing, but is here wanting to listen to us and who's inviting us to not consider what's coming next in the future, because God has that secured in Jesus Christ, and to not worry about what has happened in the past, because we have a Savior who gave his life for that very reason, that our pasts would be covered in grace, but to simply embrace God in the moment, to embrace God right now, and to not miss those things that are most important to us. The amazing thing is that Jesus Christ, in our passage here, he realized that he had a greater mission at hand. He had a greater thing that God was calling him to. And he didn't know that. He didn't realize that until he said no to some other things, as we talked about last week. And those saying no to those things led him eventually to the cross, where he was present for all of us, where he purposefully subjected himself to some moments of sheer agony and pain, so that we would know that he will always be present with us, and so that when we take the time to spend with him and bring him our hurts and our bruises and those things in our heart that we're dealing with, that he will presently and perfectly heal those in his good time. So this morning, I want to leave you all with a few things. The first is a quote that I love by Henry David Thoreau. He said, "Why should we be in such desperate haste to succeed and in such desperate enterprises? If a man does not keep pace with his companions, perhaps it is because he hears a different drummer. Let him step to the music which he hears, however measured or far away." Who have you been ignoring recently? Who has come between you and what has come between you and those things in your life, those people in your life that you need to be present with? What is coming in between God? How have you told God, "Lord, fit into my life," instead of the other way around, "God, I'll fit into yours"? And at the same time, I pray this morning that you will rest in the fact that that you're enough. Rest in the fact that you don't have to constantly be looking and wondering if what you have done is okay, if it's enough, because you are enough. Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross not for some perfect version of you, not for some version of you that has it all together, not for some version of you that will one day be through with sin. He gave his life for you as you are now, because he has promised that in due time he will bring to completion the good work that he started. I hope that as a church, and I feel like as a church, we need to seriously maybe look at what we're doing and get back to what our true heart is, and that's being present with the Lord. Let us pray. God, all this talk about being present and spending time with you, Lord, with saying no and with everything else, Lord, it is so important. It is so important, and yet, God, we live in a world that really encourages us to do the opposite, to be consumers, to constantly be filling our minds and our hearts with everything else but you, Lord. God, I pray that you would help us to not consume, but to create time for the people around us, to create a time and a space, Lord, for us to listen for your voice. And God, as we read in Scripture that Jesus himself had to do this over and over, that it was part of his regular practice, Lord, help it be our regular practice. God, when we look for validation from so many places, God, when we look for relief from our to-do lists, when we look for validation, God, in so many other places, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to rest in you, to rest in the fact that we are enough. And God, I pray this morning, Lord, that we would receive the good news of the kingdom, that Jesus Christ has overcome sin and death, Lord, and that you reign in heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. And God, that you are making all things new. Lord, as we worry and as we struggle to make sense of things, Lord, let us make sense of that truth. Let us make sense of your victory. And God, help us to recognize the incredible gift we have to be present with you. May we not be discouraged by times of prayer where all we do is fiddle and really have trouble sitting still. But may we continue to work on our prayer life. God, may we not be discouraged when we don't hear anything, because perhaps, Lord, all we need to do is to be still. God, may we not be discouraged when we talk with our brothers and sisters and are scared to tell them what's going on with us. But Lord, help us to be present and to listen and to offer space to be gracious to one another. God, may we be a church that lets go of the clutter of church life and focuses on you alone. And God, may we be a church where we recognize the love and the joy that you have for us, and that we share that with others. Thank you so much, Lord. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we prepare to worship and sing our final song, I encourage you to do what you need to be present with the Lord. If that's coming up to a deserted place away from the people in your pews and praying, I invite you to do that. If it's to just sing to the Lord, I invite you to do that. And I invite you this week I challenge you as I did the youth. Maybe spend some time where you turn off your phone. Maybe spend some more time where you walk through the grocery store or whatever errands that you have to do intentionally, slowly, and that you take time to notice people. May you find this week a time to declutter some things in your home where maybe it's been feeling like all this stuff is around you and you can't concentrate on the Lord. I pray that you take this week and really challenge yourself to be present with the Lord, present with others, and present with yourself. And right now, let's continue to worship the Lord.